Show is proudly made in the USA, but secretly owned by China and is motivated by oil interests in the Middle East. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
The truth hurts, doesn't it, Habsburg? Oh, sure. Maybe not as much as jumping on a bicycle with a seat missing, but it hurts.
One of my favorites from Naked Gun. The truth hurts. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Last hour on a Friday. I can't believe we're actually here. Last hour on a Friday. Can you believe it? The stance on Iran that I have is quite controversial, which I always find a little interesting because I think that... if we were students of history, I'm actually thinking it might not be. But because maybe we're not students of history and tend to be headline readers, I think a lot of us can get caught up in the Iran fear-mongering right now. And the reason I say that is because of this very big headline that just came out on conservative news, which I am a very a staunch conservative. It says, inside Iran's deadly armory and its capabilities to fight the U.S. Huh. I just remember seeing the same exact thing with Syria and North Korea, too. Same exact kind of headline. And so I bring aboard a returning engagement, Investigator Dave. How are you?
Hello, Kate.
Hi.
Thank you for having me on.
You bet. I really wanted to talk about Iran with you and get your take.
Okay.
And I can't wait to do this because I do think that we need to sit back and rein it in a little bit. And I know most of the audience, I'm preaching to the choir. I think this really is for a lot of people out there that might not understand there's another side to this and that we have a playbook and we also have a history that we need to understand since 1953 with Iran. And there's two big looming questions that I hope people ask. Instead of reading headlines, I would hope they'd ask these two questions. Number one, has Iran invaded anyone? And I know I'm talking about way back in history. I'm talking about in the last 80 years, have they invaded anybody? So there's one question. And the other question is, why do they hate us? Why is it not New Zealand? Why do they hate? Why do they not hate? Japan. Why is there not a hatred for another country as much as they hate us? Why is that? And I really want to go back into the history and really talk about this with you. And so I know you've been watching the headlines. The latest one, I'm going to play this clip really quick. This is Trump yesterday talking about Iran. And I have to say that I actually commend him for reining it in a little bit and saying, now, wait a second, this could have been a mistake when everybody was going crazy over the downing of a drone that Iran said was in their airspace. Nobody was actually killed or anything. An expensive drone, if you will, but a drone. And this was President Trump's take. Here you go.
Do you still hold that opinion?
Oh, absolutely. When I came here, Iran was in 14 to 18 different sites of confliction. They were extremely hostile. They were hostile when they signed the deal. They were screaming death to America. And I think probably Iran made a mistake. I would imagine it was a general or somebody that made a mistake in shooting that drone down. And fortunately, that drone was unarmed. It was not, there was no man in it. And there was no, it was just, it was over international waters, clearly over international waters. But we didn't have a man or woman in the drone. We had nobody in the drone.
Are you still open?
Would have made a big difference, let me tell you. Would have made
okay. So what did you think about that? And what did you think about the move today and saying we're not going to do a retaliatory move? This is, you know, where we're getting this really blown out of proportion, even though he's actually said some pretty damning things about Iran, too. What is your take on this, Dave?
Oh, he's feeding the piranhas on that one.
Mm-hmm.
He really does not want to go to war with Iran. In fact, he doesn't want to go to war with anybody because he's a businessman and he knows international trade and politics and everything else. That's very important to him. In fact, that's mm-hmm. foremost. But he's got these people around him, and you can't get rid of them, really. I remember the Bay of Pigs mm-hmm. and President Kennedy when he was they kept calling on him, bomb Cuba, help out our freedom fighters down there. They're being pushed back on the beach. We need you. And he, no, I can't do this, you know. But the CIA put this thing together. down in Nicaragua with all these freedom fighters and a couple planes and all these guys to invade Cuba, really without him knowing much about it at all, or the invasion until it happened. So they can do these things behind the president's back. Mm-hmm. They're fully capable of doing that. They're powerful. They got money. They got spies. They got everything.
Right.
And so, but I don't think he doesn't want to go to listen to him. And he's trying to make excuses for him. Oh, it was probably some general, you know, that did something stupid. And the drone was unmanned. And, you know, don't make a big deal of it is what he's saying.
Yeah.
So I really believe that. I don't. He's not a warmonger. He's just not.
Right. So they've said that he's expanded. The critics will tell you this, that he's expanded the ground war in Afghanistan, and the U.S. wars in Iraq and Libya have never stopped because we've had over 500,000 people, a lot of civilians in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan alone, killed. And Trump sending 1,000 troops to Russia's border in Poland and sending another 1,000 troops to the Middle East. In comparison, though, I do have to say that looking at the, our past with the troops sent over, like when Obama sent people to Syria, there was a lot more than 1,000. Yet I wouldn't even like to see 1,000 go. But I think just keeping in context with the facts, that's important to note. And I also know that we didn't demonstrate a coup in Syria. I think with maybe another president, we would have under that direction. So I'm not, I think people are kind of confused because the critics are saying that he's expanding all these wars. They haven't stopped. I don't know that our deep state is so huge and wanting these wars for control and for power and money. And I'm not quite sure we can even stop them at this point. I don't know.
It's going to be difficult, and I'm not sure I want to use that that third person. Pronoun he.
Mm-hmm.
He's expanding. He's doing this. He's doing that. It's so difficult for a president to control the country, let alone international finance. And I'm making an excuse for him. I really am, because I've seen it in history. Even Abe Lincoln, who micromanaged the war as much as he could not control what the generals were doing or going or saying. And cabinet members were sending men here and there. What can I say?
Right.
And I've seen it happen everywhere. I've seen it in World War II. Hitler, despite his, big meetings at the Wolf Lair and everywhere else, he had generals My gosh, von Paulus surrendered Stalingrad against his orders.
Mm-hmm.
They did. Presidents really don't control it. They try to manage it, try to control it, try to restrain it as much as they can. And they do have the ultimate authority to send people in if they're confronted with that. But if they're all of a sudden, hey, we've been attacked. Well, how'd this happen? You know,
right?
It's going to be difficult.
Okay.
So as far as Iran, I read your article on that, and I was really surprised at all these people that know that the deep state lies to them.
Mm-hmm.
They know that the media lies to them. They know the CIA and others are, come up with these false flags all the time. And the moment that this thing happens, that they shoot down a drone or there's a couple of mines on a Japanese and Norwegian, and they weren't mines after all, because the explosions were above ground, not underground.
Right.
I mean, above water, not below, probably hit by a missile. And who knows who fired that. But anyway, they know these false flags. But the moment something like this happens, they're calling for war. They get the aggressors and I'm thinking, you didn't believe them before, but you believe them now.
Right. Right. Isn't that crazy?
It mystifies me.
We have 53 admitted to documented false flags. Those are only the ones they admit to. And that's a whole lot of false flags since 1931 that the government has demonstrated that we've actually admitted to. And that, and when I said, it's either the downing of a ship, a plane, or train tracks in 1931, it's kind of like the same move over and over again. utilizing something maybe a little different, but the same kind of move. And then, of course, we have to have a reason, because the American people would not stand for all of the wars, these ongoing wars that we're taking part in. So there's always a reason. They hit us. They're coming after us. Here's the big fear mongering. They're going to nuke us, or they're gassing their people. And that's, those are the caveats, right? Those are the things that they use to get us to be okay with it.
It's the playbook.
Yeah, it's the playbook.
And it works. It's been working in the past. Why not? Why change it now?
Well, yeah, I mean, people obviously aren't wising up to it. So then that means we need to talk about Iran and talk about the history with Iran so we can understand why we've arrived here at this time in history. Because they haven't actually attacked a neighboring country, have they?
No, they really haven't. And unless you want to say that they're helping Syria defeat ISIS is an attack. And a terrorism, which some nations have said that is, it's not really. They're supporting other nations against aggressors, and we call that aggression, and some of the Western countries would call that aggression too, but it's not. They haven't invaded anybody. They haven't. I remember in the Bible, if you want to go back to Artaxerxes, and maybe the 300 Spartans and all that. Yeah, okay, invaded there. But there really has been no historical invasion since then that I know of. And you fill me in if there is, but it's not, definitely not recent.
Okay.
They're just, they're just over there doing their thing.
So why do they have a hatred for the USA? Why not some other country? Why is it us?
You know, do they? And this is the thing. I watched a documentary of a bunch of Americans that went over to Iran and, started visiting all the towns, the countryside and everywhere else, talking to the citizens. There's very few Americans over there. The moment these Iranians, oh, you're from America. We love America. We like America. Blah, blah, blah. Just standing right underneath the sign where it says death to America.
Right.
So I got a feeling that there are certain interests over there that really want to keep the hype going.
Right.
And by the way, they mix. It's not a us. It's Israel, too. It's American Israel are two peas in a pod to them.
I see.
And so every time they say one, they say the other.
Okay.
But you got to remember that Israel's been saber rattling against Iran for 20 years.
A long time.
They're killing their scientists. They're putting Stuxnet, Stuxnet viruses into their computers. They're sabotaging them left and right, and they're pushing the media everywhere to attack.
So we're gonna go to a break. We're gonna come right back and let's talk about this, because is it okay for a nation? Let's say they didn't like us. Is that cause for war? So a lot of people are saying, well, they hate us, so we got to go to war. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
I can't walk out because I
there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show last hour on a Friday talking about Iran. Even if you disagree, I'm glad you're listening in, because I do think there's a lot to talk about here and healthy to talk about with cause to what's going on in Iran. It's on the headlines right now. Of course, they're explaining that they have an arsenal that's going to kill us. Investigator Dave and I were just talking on the break. Could they win a few battles based on what they have? Yes. Would they win the all-out war? No. We are definitely the superpower when it comes to our military strength and what we're able to do to another country. We spend more on it than any country, right? Or countries combined. And so even with what's going on in the headlines right now, could they come and annihilate us? And have they actually come over here and done something to us on our land that would make it so that our military would need to defend itself and go to war? Has that happened, Investigator Dave? Have they actually attacked us? Yeah, they haven't.
No, but they have demonstrated on our streets.
They have.
And I learned firsthand how propaganda works. It was really interesting, because it was 1978, and they were trying to overturn the Shah, who we put in power.
In the 50s.
We have to go back in history. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I should start.
Probably 53.
Just tell the story.
Yeah.
But I'll tell the story first. The Shah was put in power by the CIA, mm-hmm. Shah Reza Pahlavi, and he was a terrible guy, and he was a tyrant. And there were thousands, tens of thousands of Iranian students in the United States, maybe 100,000. And so they had a massive demonstration in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And I was on the police department at the time, and we went to try to stop them, set up a portable jail, and they were demonstrating, blocking the streets and everything else. It was amazing. And all of a sudden, while we were forming a line against them, they charged us. It was, you know, I don't know, I felt like
sure.
Custer at the Little Bighorn. Thousands of them coming straight at us. But they didn't hit us. They just ran past us for escaping. And so I wanted to get a couple ringleaders and some of the others, they told us, to try to chase them down. And so I ran two blocks after this crowd, and I ran around a corner. And right around the corner, there was about a dozen bloodied and upset women and children.
Mm-hmm.
And they were leaning against the wall. And right there were the newspapers and newsreels and everything else, these people, interviewers. And they were saying how they got beat up and how the Shah's people beat them up and the police department beat them up and everything else. And I'm thinking, we never touched them.
Right.
We never touched them. It was all fake.
Wow.
And it was all for the news. You know, I sat there, I stood there and watched that. I go, my gosh, you know, this isn't happening.
Jeez.
You know? And then they all got up and ran off after the, you know, a few mm-hmm. shots and everything else.
Hmm.
So news shots, I meant. So I know that just about anything they try to tell you on either side can be propaganda.
On either side, yeah, I agree. I agree.
On either side, you just never know. Now, the shooting down of the drone, they say it was over their territory. We say it was international waters. But it just so happens that the drone parts came down on Iranian waters and soil.
Mm-hmm.
So it must have been, you know, unless the wind blows real strong, it happened over their territory.
Right.
But the history of Iran, you know, to me, we always say 1953 when they overthrew the Shah. I mean, the other Shah.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually happened back in 1941.
Mm-hmm.
Iran was invaded by England. And that was because in 1941, Germany had declared war on Russia and was marching eastward through Russia. And we wanted to get lend-lease supplies to Russia as fast as we could.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a railroad that went all up, in fact, that went up the Volga River and through Iran. And we could go to Iran and load all this supplies for Russia and send them up there. But the trouble is Iran didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They said, you can't use our railroad. We're friends with the Axis. They weren't, you know, they had a lot of Germans there and others. One thing about Iran, they did not agree with the Nazi policy regarding Jews.
Mm.
And their embassies around the world, they actually hid and brought Jews to escape.
Mm. Interesting.
So, yeah. Even though they're Shiites, right, mm-hmm. Muslims.
Right.
They were helping the Jews to escape. And England decided to invade from the south, and Russia helped them from the north, and they conquered Iran
mm-hmm.
and took over. And, boy, it's a lot of nice oil there we could use, too, to help the war effort.
Mm-hmm.
And so that basically continued till after the war, and then Iran knew a president. Oh, come on, what's his name? He was the guy before the Shah. He decided to nationalize the oil interests again
mm-hmm.
and bring the money home to Iran.
Okay.
And we couldn't stand that. And so we toppled him. The CIA toppled him in a coup in 1953
mm-hmm.
and brought in the Shah, Reza Pahlavi, and he was our guy. But he was a tyrant for 20 years, 25 years, getting old. And finally, the Iranian students and everybody had enough of him.
Mm-hmm.
And they were demonstrating worldwide. And that's the one I got caught up in. And finally, they overthrew the Shah, and you remember that. There
mm-hmm.
was, what, 53 American hostages or something still in the embassy.
Right. And before you say that, I just wanted to also mention that the CIA did admit that it hired Iranians in the 1950s to pose as communists and stage bombings in Iran in order to turn the country against its elected prime minister, too. So
no.
The CIA. Yeah. So anyway, so keep going. Talking about the hostages.
The hostages. Now, we had to quell a bunch of these riots in the United States, too, over the hostages because the demonstrations, you know, they were chanting down, down, down with the Shah, down, down, down with the Shah. But after they toppled the Shah, they still had the hostages there.
Right.
And they really, really didn't like it because the Shah was put in by our guys.
Mm-hmm.
And our guys went in and out of the embassy every day because they were CIA, military and everything else. They were all in supporting of the Shah.
Right.
And so they didn't want to release them. They kept them there as hostages until Ronald Reagan got elected. The day he was elected, then all of a sudden they released them.
Yeah, they held the hostages until that day, right? They held them.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter didn't know what to do, and Ronald Reagan says, if I'm elected, I'll get them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they believed Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So they released them at that time. But since then, they've been under the control of the Khomeini, Ayatollah Khomeini.
Right.
And because it was the Islamic Revolution, basically, that overthrew, it was a nationalist, and because they're Shias, and they identify, kind of like Church of England, you know, identifies with England, is you're part of it's together.
Right.
And so the Shia Muslims in Iran were the same thing. That's our country. It's our religion. It's kind of like Putin liked to do in Russia right now, bringing the Orthodox religion back and make it the soul of Russia, if not the politics of America. It was the same thing. And so it was an Iran. Let's bring in our guy. And they brought in the Ayatollah Khomeini.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to say at the time, it's out of the frying pan into the fire.
Right.
Because he came down real hard with some religious edicts, which have been loosened ever since. It was pretty loose for a while, but now, you know, it's about average. You got to wear the hijab, and you can't shake hands with men in public and that kind of stuff.
Right.
But basically, it's I don't know, judging from these people in the interviews that I went to and that I saw and things that I know, that's it's quite a place. I want to go there. I know you said you didn't want to go there.
No, I don't.
There's a really neat shopping place on the Gulf.
Thanks, thanks.
And I wanted to visit and I asked Patty, and she said, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, no, thank you. No. But, you know, this is, I think location is a very curious part of this story. There's a reason that right now, because with Syria, we were really ramping up to a coup. We were really ramping up to war. What happened with Syria? What happened with that? Where do we stand now?
One word, Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
The moment, remember, I was on your show three, four years back when Russia announced out of the clear blue sky that we're going to start hitting ISIS targets and command centers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because we knew that our guys were in bed with ISIS at the time, boy, was that a rape of a country or not? Wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were hauling their oil out and selling it to everybody at dirt cheap prices across the world, stole everything from their museums and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the moment that Russia says we're going to start hitting their command centers, and they said, when? They said, well, within 3 hours.
Right.
I was on the show. I go, oh my gosh, if I'm in the command center, get out of there now. And indeed they did. They hit about a dozen of them. They just started bombing them. And it changed. That was the beginning of the change in Syria. And Russia's been in there trying to stabilize the country. And
they border Iran, for those that don't know. The Soviet Union borders Iran. And then we, on the other side of Iran, is Afghanistan, and on to the left is Iraq, which we have both of those countries now. We're also friends with Turkey, that's up above, that borders Soviet Union, and we have Saudi Arabia, right? So we have all of these surrounding areas to Russia as well. So that's kind of Iran is sort of in the way, if you will, to Russia.
Yeah, they are.
Iran is in the way.
Iran's in the way of everything if you if you want to conquer the world.
Yes.
Not only the resources, but control of the Gulf and the oil that comes out of there. And, you know, that's why we're all these sanctions that we're trying to slap on them. And it's starting to work a little bit now that India has said they're going to start buying more oil elsewhere, you know, than Iran.
Right.
It's starting to work. But nevertheless, it's not hindered their economy a whole lot. They're still growing. They're still producing. They're doing a lot of stuff in-house. For instance, this missile that shot down the drone yesterday, it was patterned after a United States missile, almost identical. They steal plans, and they do a lot of this stuff in-house, a lot of missiles. They're sunburned missiles, and, of course, they do have some S-300s from Russia. And those are... Those are game changers.
Right.
300s and 400s. I mentioned this before. You cannot run a bombing campaign like you did in Libya or anywhere else or in Iraq or anywhere else if those people on the ground have sunburned missiles. You cannot do it. They will take you out. And so you have to conduct a ground war or a missile war. It's the only way. And even then, the missile war, what we fired at Syria, what was that, 120 missiles or something over that false poison gas attack?
Right.
And I think, what, only 20, 30 got through?
Yeah.
All the rest were shot down?
Right, right.
Either through electronic warfare or through other missiles. So, yeah, it's a real game changer.
Okay, we're going to head off to a break, but I just wanted to mention all the surrounding countries, Syria, which we own the northern half now, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, all of these areas, Iran truly is in the way. We went after Iraq. Remember how we always talk about location? On the other side, Afghanistan. Iran is just this big piece of the puzzle right there in that middle that goes right up to Russia that we would like to have. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Kate Daly Show, last leg of the show, and talking with Investigator Dave, back for a special hour here, talking about Iran and maybe some more things that maybe would help be beneficial in understanding a little bit more about this country and about our relationship to them, China's relationship to them, everybody's relationship to them. They are in the middle geographically. They're that one piece that stands to be in the middle. We own basically everybody around them. We went in and conquered Iraq. We've got part of Syria. We've got Afghanistan on the other side of Iran. Iran has their biggest border is Russia. And so I'm saying that because a lot of people look at the Middle East like a big blob of countries and don't understand the geography involved. But I think that's really important to note that they are kind of this huge piece of the puzzle. If you were playing Monopoly, you would own all of the majors and then, you know, you sweep the board if you can get that one last set of hotels, kind of like probably how we are viewing these pieces to the puzzle. And so... talk to me just a little bit about, so a lot of people are fearing their capability, Iran's capability. How long have we been talking about Iran's capability with nuclear weapons or this kind of thing? How long has that been?
Oh.
Three, 4 decades
you know,
or three
since
decades?
2007, I think, I know John Bolton almost monthly has been saying something about attacking them, and we're not going to tolerate you one bit, and we're going to kill you, and we're going to attack you and punish you. He's been pushing it like crazy, and Pompeo too.
Let me play this.
Just been going on and on.
Let me play this clip from John Bolton. Here we go.
documents being revealed.
Now, I want to make the case for secrecy in government when it comes to the conduct of national security affairs, and possibly for deception where that's appropriate.
This is Bolton.
Winston Churchill said during World War II that in wartime, truth is so important it should be surrounded by a bodyguard of lies.
Do you really believe that?
Absolutely.
You would lie in order to preserve the truth.
If I had to say something I knew was false to protect American national security, I would do it. I don't think we're often faced with that difficulty. But would I lie about where the D-Day invasion was going to take place to deceive the Germans? You better believe it.
Why do people in the government think that the rules of society or the laws don't apply to them?
Because they are not dealing in the civil society we live in under the Constitution. They are dealing in an anarchic environment internationally where different rules apply.
The only thing I think he's not saying is that who is causing the chaos and the anarchy. So in that statement, he's blaming it on chaos and anarchy, not saying how much our CIA does or what they do to provoke or to do false flags or to engage in these kinds of things so that we can go in, get a country, demonstrate a coup. And so he's telling half the story, which is a ginormous lie, because he's not including where it's coming from, right?
Yes, who's causing all of this?
Yeah.
Very, very, very good point. Iran is not, we talked before about them not invading anybody. To tell you the truth, I hated it when Trump says, you know, every act of terrorism they've been causing throughout the Middle East. Well, we said the same thing about Assad, and we said the same thing about Gaddafi and the others, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think he's throwing that out because he knows that Assad's not a bad guy. He knows that Iran's not. Mm-hmm. I think he's just throwing that out, his rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
But really, when you boil down to it, Iran has never threatened anybody. They've been trying to stabilize countries that we have threatened,
mm-hmm.
and I guess that makes them an enemy. But never on their own. You know, look at even the Houthis.
Mm-hmm.
Down there in Yemen, you know, they're trying to keep them from being toppled by Saudi Arabia and the West. They came in to support Syria, which was, attacked by the West. You know, they came, they're supporting Lebanon, which is being threatened all the time and attacked by Israel. So they're supporting other nations that are under the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that makes, since we're putting the other nations under the gun, I guess that makes them our enemy.
Yeah. And so what is the big cause right now? What is the big caveat to get all of us energized over this war? What are they using the most in the playbook?
To get us energized?
Uh-huh. To get us excited about going to war.
It's the same old one. They hate us. They hate our freedoms. They're attacking us. They want to conquer us. They're a bunch of radicals. And it's they're evil people. And they've got to be stopped.
Mm.
That's
we're told
evil
that
doers,
a lot.
If you want to say what George Bush, copy him.
Right.
They're the evil doers. But it's a bunch of malarkey.
Was going to war in Iraq a lot about positioning ourselves closer to getting Iran?
Maybe that's one of the reasons too.
Mm-hmm.
Iraq. There's a lot of different reasons for that. United States, yes, we wanted to be able to get their resources, and we wanted to be able to get positioned there. You cannot throw Israel out of the mix either,
because
they want that Euphrates River, the greater Israel that so many of their politicians and especially religious leaders have been pushing the politicians, that we belong, this is our land all the way up to the Euphrates River, according to the Bible. And so there's just all these different reasons, and poor little Iraq stood right in the middle of all these reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they had to be toppled. One of the interesting things about Iraq is they're gaining their independence so fast now.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard for the West to just keep everybody in line.
Right.
They keep wandering off, and Iraq's going their own way. Hong Kong's going their own way. Venezuela, a lot of people are saying, no, we're going to do it our way now. And right or wrong, they're doing that. And a lot of it has to do, and I want to bring this up just real quick, rising expectations and birth rates. You get, no, look at Hong Kong. You get over half the people are like under 26. And same with Iraq and same with Iran. Mm-hmm. You get all these new people and they're now under a free enterprise system, even with the sanctions. They're buying things, they're doing things, and the old ways just aren't holding anymore. Hmm. And so the countries are getting more and more restrictive to try to control them. China, you know, with their social policy and everything else. But you think all these technicians, millions and millions of them in Hong Kong, you think they can't get around the social system
right.
on the internet, and nor they don't want to? Mm-hmm. And the more that they get to buy a car or Ferrari, whatever it is, you know, or have a home or a family or something, they see the future, they're less likely they are to give it up under a communist system. And so, yeah, I see down the road, I see in the next 10 years with all these, and a lot of these people are geniuses, all these new people coming in with all their new ideas, I see a changing world structure, I really do.
Yeah.
And where it will go, but I'm hoping it goes for more free enterprise.
Right.
And so more conservatism, but it may have to go through a war to get there. I don't know.
So we have these sanctions. We had the deal, the nuke deal, and then Trump changed that deal. What are your thoughts on that, on the deal with Iran?
You mean, okay, when we gave them all those billions of dollars on pallets?
And then, Trump went and changed the agreement with Iran and reversed what Obama did.
That was a money-making scheme. But we will give you, the United States and politicians around the world want to be able to get rich. They want to buy things. Well, how can we launder all this money to Netherlands, to Germany, to England, to United States politicians and everybody else? How can we do that? Well, we're going to get rich by giving the money cash to Iran.
Right.
Iran will launder it and send it to all of our bank accounts. And all they have to do is say that we're not going to produce nuclear weapons. And you can buy us off. You can buy us off. Right. And so that was a deal put together by the Clintons and by the Bushes and then Obamas. And they just kept the money flowing into Iran. It's all money. That was, had nothing to do with politics.
And it was done in cash for a reason. It can't be traced because in today's day and age, like we've joked on the show, I mean, we're not sending it over on we're not in a time where we send everything on mules. You know, we could have done digitally if it wasn't something that we didn't want traced. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
don't
there's a
keep
reason.
A trace. Give them suitcases full of $100 bills or whatever it is, you know.
There's a lot of
exactly the way.
There, I talked about this earlier in the week, but there's a lot of money that is a lot of people are coming over as refugees. They're scamming the daycare systems. They have millions of dollars. They're putting it in suitcases. They go home to visit, and it goes into some of these networks right there in the Middle East, which is a very interesting story. We'll probably get to that next week. The other part of that story is that millions and millions and millions of dollars are going out in suitcases. As long as you declare it, you can fly with it, and they're taking it back. And so there's a lot of money being funneled is the message here. A lot of money.
And diplomatic pouches.
Yeah.
You don't have to declare. Yeah, that was just all scam.
Yeah.
That's all it was. And so Trump comes along and says, we're not going to do that anymore. I'm not part of the old administration.
Right.
I got my billions anyway. So you don't need to pay me or my people off.
Right.
And so we're not going to do that anymore. And then that's why it wasn't Iran screaming so loud. You notice if Trump did that, every European nation and all the rest are saying, what? You're pulling out? Don't pull out. Well, you think they cared that they're going to make some nuclear weapon over there? They could have made it years ago.
Right.
I know how to make a nuclear weapon.
Right.
They're not hard.
Right.
They could have done that long ago. No. What they want is the money.
That's an interesting point. That really is because absolutely. 100%. Very, very interesting point. So there's way more to this than what appears in the media. And it's not about nukes. It's not about nukes.
Yeah, definitely not about nukes. Mm-hmm. Never has been about nukes. You know, Iran has stated there, their president, even back to Ahmadinejad, or Ahmadinejad, some people call him, he says, we don't need nukes. What do we need nukes for?
Right.
Number one, we're just guarding our own country. Number two, if we tried to nuke anybody, especially Israel, we'd be killing a lot of Arabs, too. And I don't want to do that. And
right.
Number three, there's a lot of other ways to conquer a country besides blowing them up.
Right.
And so.
And you know,
and
when you
right.
when you look at all the false flags, it's very interesting that they're not exactly happening here. We've had two events that have happened on U.S. soil. Other than that, all the false flags, the ships, that all the different things that have happened away from us. Yet we say, well, we're defending our nation, even though this event happened, you know, to something that was abroad. We're defending our nation. And so some of these countries, because you just made the point that they're defending themselves. So if we go in, they will defend themselves. And it's as if the American people, they don't even want them to do that. It's like, no, we get to go in and we get to do what we want to do. And that's not okay. We can't just roam the entire earth going, we get to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And by the way, we're always right. That's not okay. And we can't say it's because they hate us and hate our freedom. A lot of people don't like somebody, but that's not a contest for war. That's not a context for war. I mean, just because they don't like us, but that seems to be drummed up a lot in the media. They hate us. Well, so what? They can hate us from afar. They have for how many decades? Who cares if that's true? If that's true. So
yeah.
Why are they constantly using that? Because they have nothing else. This is all smoke and mirrors. There's nothing there.
There's no there. It's such a phony reason, excuse. You'd think people would see it through it.
I know.
Oh, they attacked us at 9/11 because they hate our freedoms.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't Iran.
It's laughable.
It wasn't Iran. Yeah, it's. I wish people would do their homework on 9/11 because it wasn't Iran and it wasn't Iraq either. It wasn't Afghanistan.
I know.
It was. Anyway, we've done shows on that one. But I think what we're trying to say here is all of the reasons that they're giving right now and the fear-mongering, they have an arsenal now. And like you said, they might be able to win a few battles with what they have to defend their country. But we go in and a country is going to defend itself, so just like we would here. So this whole idea of, you know, they shot down our drone. Nobody was even killed, but they shot it down. Go in. I can't understand that mentality. I can't, because if it's in their country and on their waters, they do have a right to shoot down a drone. I mean, I don't know. Why are we expecting, you know, us to always get the benefit and all these other countries are always doing in the wrong? I don't understand that mentality. We have to be able to think higher than that, don't we? I would think. I mean,
yes.
A little higher.
We should. We should.
Yeah.
We should be that title. I love Reagan's phrase. You know, the light city on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do it? The shining city on the hill.
Right.
Something
right.
To that effect.
Yeah.
We should be the example. We should. Be
yeah,
the
example, not the dominating force to force everybody to do what we want either, and so. Agree or not, I hope this hour shed some light on some things, and I certainly always learn from you, Dave. Thank you, Investigator Dave. I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate, for having me.
You bet. Be faithful, be fearless. Have a great weekend. See you back here on Monday, and I'll talk about the next phase of Common Core. You won't believe it. It's just, you won't believe it, but it'll totally make sense, I promise. I'll be back on Monday to talk about that. Everybody have a good one.